Have you ever heard of the marshmallow experiment? Who's ever heard of that?
Like, yes.
Basically, I wasn't going to show the video, but over time, I didn't. The experiment they did a while ago and did it a couple different times, but they take a marshmallow, they take this little kid, probably like 4 or 5 years old, and they take him in this room by themselves, and this lady leads him in, and they had a chair and a desk, and they give him a marshmallow, and they say, look, if you can just wait, and not eat this marshmallow, I will bring you another one when I come back. I promise, I'll bring you another one when I come back. And check the video out sometime on YouTube. Just type in marshmallow experiment. It's so funny. These kids are sniffing the marshmallow. They're putting it up to their mouth and like barely putting it in. They're looking at it. They're getting up and they're looking all around. And so the reason I even talk about that is today we're talking about maybe a term you've heard, maybe a term you haven't. It's called the flesh. And it's kind of an interesting term that we would use to talk about. But it's called the flesh. And it's actually, it's an enemy of ours. It's an enemy of ours. We came from camp, and we were talking about standing in the strength of his might. And we talked a lot about Joshua and his battle plan as he goes in to take over the land. We talked about some things about realizing that there is a battle. Are we ready to fight? Are we trusting in God's authority? Are we trusting the authority of those around us? Are we humbly submitting to God? Are we choosing to believe? We talked about a lot of these things of how to stand in his might. But one thing that we didn't hit was we didn't talk about the enemies. That there was an enemy that Joshua was going to fight as he went into the promised land. There was an enemy he was going to have to fight. And in the same way in our lives, there's enemies that are coming against us, that ability, that choice to stand. And we need to recognize our enemies. You know, we know the verse, and we've actually heard it a lot lately, the verse John 10:10. You know, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life, and life to the fullest. But that first part is important. There is a thief. That is Satan who wants to come and steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to take away the hope and the joy that we really have in Christ. So in the next 2 weeks, we're going to be studying our enemies, and they're all kind of wrapped up into these sort of three. Today, I'm going to be talking about the flesh, and if you're like, Lee, that's really weird, flesh, I'm thinking like flesh. I'm going to help you understand it, and to use the word, unpack it for you a little bit more, and then next week, Bob's going to be talking about our enemy of the world / Satan. So he's kind of going to go into both, how we battle this kind of world system, what the world's pushing against God's word, and how Satan comes in. So that first blank on your under the battle, the enemies behind enemy lines is John 10:10 says there's an enemy that's seeking to kill, steal, and destroy. So today we're going to be looking at the flesh. But before that, we're talking a little bit more about this idea of an enemy. One thing that's really, really cool about what God has done for us is he has given us the view from behind enemy lines. He's given us the view from behind enemy lines. Any good army, navy, whatever it is, I was actually watching a brief video on the British SAS, which is kind of like the special forces for the British, and it said the first thing that they always do when they're going in to defeat an enemy is they send a really small team to go into the enemy's territory to be able to scope them out and to see what's going on. So they go to see the view behind enemy lines. They want to see the lay of the land. They want to know, okay, where do we go in to attack? You know, what's the best route? The one thing they want to find the weak spots. They want to find the weak spots in their enemy. And they want to expose them. That's how they're going to defeat them. They want to be able to expose them. Maybe if there's a fort, maybe there's like guards that are always marching around and doing their guarding and watching the fort. And so they want to see, what's their pattern? What's the pattern that they do? Is there some point where this one, two guys, when they switch off, they always do this one thing and nobody's watching. And they want to find that. And they want to go in so they can defeat the enemy. They want to watch how the enemy works to know the best mode of attack. And God has given us a view from behind enemy lines of how What we're going to talk about today, our flesh, and also how Satan and the world is trying to defeat us. And I hope today, my prayers as I was really studying for this message and preparing was that this isn't another message that you come and you say, oh yeah, they always kind of rail on, they're always kind of talking about how, you know, our passions and our desires and railing on that. I hope that you don't walk away saying this is another thing of just follow these good rules and life will be okay. But you see that there is a real enemy seeking to tear down your foundation, to tear you down so that you cannot stand. So that you cannot stand in the strength of his might. But there's something that's so cool, and what we're going to talk about today is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that lives inside of us, Jesus Christ that lives inside of us, that is the offensive weapon that we can use to walk. So God has given us a view from behind enemy lines. Satan sees in your life where you're most vulnerable. Satan sees in your life where you're most vulnerable, and Satan sees your pattern of life, and he knows your weak spots, and he knows where to bring you down. And some of you, you're in here, you're sensing that. I sense that. I know Satan. He knows where to push. He knows where to go to bring me down so that I can't stand in the strength of his might. But today, I hope you can walk away seeing from God's word how you can stand in the strength of his might against the flesh. Let's pray. Lord, this feel like it's a heavy topic, God, because it's one that is very real in these students' lives. And God, in a lot of ways, it never goes away, Lord. It's something that we continue to battle. God, that you continue to walk with us and battle this enemy of the flesh. Lord, I pray that, God, let your word speak today. It's such truth. It's such wisdom, that knowledge and action of how to battle against the flesh. Lord, I pray over these students as they, the students that have gone to college, many of them have left, God, and I think the flesh comes in, Lord, those passions, those desires to take them down as they head into college. And Lord, for the students here that are gearing back up to go back to school, Lord, and the flesh comes again and it roars its head, God, I pray they can walk away knowing how to defeat it in your strength. Amen. So the enemy, the flesh, what is it? Well, the New Testament, if we look in the New Testament, Matthew through Revelation, the back portion of your Bible, the New Testament meaning when it says, because if you've ever read, you've read it says, oh, I don't battle against human, we don't battle against flesh and blood. Or you talk about, Paul says, you know, what I don't want to do, it's my flesh that makes me do it. It's really the sum total of our natural human body. It's not on the screen, but I'm telling you, it's talking about the sum total of our natural human body. So when it says the flesh, when I say the flesh today, what I mean is your body, your soul, and your spirit. All those combined. When we get into the book of Romans today and the book of Galatians, and we're talking about the flesh, it's really thinking about you and your natural state, the body, the soul, and the spirit. And what Paul is really talking about as he says the flesh, so we can talk about the flesh, we could just talk about in science, we could say, well, someone's flesh, you would say their body, how it works, the things that are going on, their human body as they were born. Paul means the flesh, he means an ungodly lifestyle of selfishness and self-gratification. At its core, that is what the flesh is, and that's the first blank under enemy number one, the flesh. The flesh is an ungodly lifestyle of selfishness and self-gratification. The flesh is the thoughts, the desires, the wants, the envy that wars inside of us, that battles inside of us, that many times the daily battle we have against our flesh, those desires that we know are against God, but yet we war. And that's where Paul says, you may have heard it before, he says, what I don't want to do, I do. And what I do want to do, I don't. And that's what Paul is talking about. Have you ever sensed that before in your life when you leave camp and you're like, I'm ready to stand in the strength of his might. I'm ready, Lord. The decisions I made, I'm ready to stand for those. And then you get back and there's that war inside of you, right? What I don't want to do, I do. And what I do want to do, I don't. That's the battle. That's those desires. Those things inside of us that are battling. That's the flesh. Our natural inclined mind and body is bent towards choosing what feels good to me and feeds the urges that I have. So guys, our natural way as we are born, because we are born with a sin nature. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But our naturally inclined mind, what we are natural to do, is bent toward choosing what feels good and feeds the urges. Now, not all of that's bad. There's times where we put our hand over a stove and it's hot and we're like, I'm removing that. That's smart, right? There's times where it makes a lot of sense that we're choosing what feels good because we don't want to get hurt. You get a cavity, you start getting a toothache, you go to the dentist, he hooks you up. So you don't hurt anymore, right? But then, you know, there's these other passions, these other desires, these other urges that come in with us that we know are maybe not now, we need to wait. Or there's other times where it is just in totally in violation of God's word. And then in contrast, between that ungodly lifestyle of selfishness and self-gratification is Jesus that lives inside of us, the Spirit that lives inside of us. It's one who lives with a clear, visible, perceptible God consciousness that directs their attitudes and actions. It's not that they're perfect, but it's the Spirit, it's Jesus that comes and dwells within us that then is the power to be able to live for what God wants, to be able to fight the flesh. So I want to talk a little bit. I need to back up. Because I think some of us are like, Lee, you talk about this battle that's within us, the things we shouldn't do often. Let's back up and let's really look at where did it all come from. But before I start there, Wendy and I went on vacation about a week and a half ago. And we stayed at this, well, we're trying to save money. So we stayed, I found this place on Craigslist. And it was basically this person, I know, just get sketchy starting off there. So we found this place in a nice part of Virginia Beach, on the north end, which is like where a lot of people live. There's a lot of nice homes there. This person, husband and wife, were just like renting out rooms in their place. And so we're like, hey, $60 a night, a mile away from the beach. Okay, we can do that, right? So there was other people staying there. And there was this guy named Keith. His name is Keith, and Keith was a character. And he had a ponytail, and he had like this cool beard that like went here, and it was shaved right here. And then it was I called him Kimasabi. He just looked like a Kimasabi to me. So we and him would end up meeting in the kitchen and talking some, and we got on some spiritual matters, and someone we got talking about it, and his basic thing was like, he's like, yeah, you know, I think I ended up saying, I really think at our core, we're evil. Like, we're born evil, which sounds kind of harsh. And then he goes, no, I don't really agree with that. He's like, you ever seen little kids? They're so nice. Except for when they just do those few little things. But at their core, they're really good. And so I didn't want to get into an argument with him. But as I was thinking about it, it's like, yeah, a lot of us, all of us in here, we're generally pretty nice people. We're pretty good people. But if we look at really our motives and our core, I'll be willing to admit, I'm selfish. I want self-gratification. I want things to be about me. At my core, I do not think that I'm good. So it got me thinking on this idea of like, are we really good? Are we not? And you don't have to turn there, but I just want to briefly give you a background on where did this all begin? Because it had to begin somewhere, right? I mean, these desires that we have that are against God's word, why would it war against us so hard? And back in Genesis, so it starts in chapter 2, God puts Adam. So God creates Adam, the first human. He's male. He puts him in the garden. All these trees around, it says they were beautiful trees, and they all had good fruit to eat. And in the middle, there was two trees. There was the tree of life, and there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay, you with me? So he puts Adam in the garden. It's perfect. Adam's sinless. He's never sinned. He says, all these trees, tons of them, tons of good fruit. You can eat of any of them. He says, there's the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then in Genesis 2, 15 and 17, God tells Adam, work the garden, work it, have fun working it, eat from any tree. It said they were all beautiful, any tree, but do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So God says, look, there's one tree, don't eat of it. Genesis 3, enter the serpent, Satan. You may have heard of the serpent. This is, he was Satan, and Eve is now coming to the story. God has created a helpmate for Adam. He's created Eve. Eve comes in. And Satan tempts Eve. And he first, what does Satan do? He tempts Eve with the trustworthiness of God's word. He goes, did God really say to you, don't eat that tree? He comes in with that little tempt. Said, did God really say, don't eat that tree? Are you sure? And then Eve actually answered him correctly. And she says, look, he says, no, God said, don't eat of this tree. So then the serpent, Satan, moves on and tempts her more. And he says, he questions God's goodness. Satan took Eve's eyes and her mind off of all that God had given and put. So God had given them all the trees, all this fruit to enjoy. And what did Satan do? He took Eve's eyes off of all that God had given to the one thing that she wasn't allowed to do. But there was a reason. God had said for a reason, don't eat from that tree. But what does Eve do? It says she sees the fruit, that it's good for food. It's pleasing to the eye. And it's desirable for gaining wisdom. Now the first two, good for food and pleasing to the eye, she already had all that. She already had the beautiful trees. She already had the fruit from the other trees that she could eat. She already had that. But questions God's goodness. Satan had her tempt and say, you know, is God trying to hold something back from you? I think we feel like that sometimes. We feel like, why are we fighting in this battle to stand? And I feel like we feel like everybody else around us is doing whatever they want, and it doesn't seem to be affecting them. Doesn't seem to be affecting them one bit. So Eve eats of it, and she gives it to Adam, and Adam also eats of it. So she saw it looks beautiful, it's pleasing to the eye, it looks good for food, and it's desirable for gaining wisdom. So she eats it, and this is what happens. And this is where it all started, this flesh that wars within us. Their eyes were opened, as the serpent had promised. They gained wisdom. But their eyes were open, and it didn't deliver what they had hoped. It did not deliver what they had hoped. Immediately, guilt and shame rushed in because they had disobeyed God's word. God had set up this boundary for them and said, look, don't go past it. There's a reason. You have everything else to enjoy. This is one tree. Don't eat of it. The guilt and the shame rushes in. And this is where the separation from God began. And this is where that flesh, and now, because they had sinned, they brought sin into the world. Now, from time on, as we were born, it has continued to pass down with that sin nature. We have this flesh warring within us. I wanted you to see that. I wanted you to understand that. Where did the flesh begin? Because I think it's important. I don't want you to think we just come in here and God's word just made up this stuff so that, you know, you're following these rules and you're being a really good person. It's not about that. That is where it began. I want to open up to Romans chapter 5. I'm going to work through some scriptures. So I'm going to go through kind of quick. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, sin entered the world through Adam, and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all people because all have sinned. We all now have this sin problem from what passed down from Adam. And you could say, well, Adam, you should have made a different decision. But I would venture to say, if we were each there because of this sin nature, we would have chosen. We would have chosen the same thing. We would have seen, oh, this is good for wisdom. Is God trying to hold something good back from me? Come on, God, why would you do that? If you're all loving, you're all good. So, Romans 5:12, the corrupted nature of humans is carried on since then. So this is where that flesh started. That's what I'm talking about. Our body, our mind, we are born and totally inclined to sin from birth. So, we need a mind switch. We need to be able to a mind switch here. And this is what God's word is telling us as we get into it further. It's saying, in the beginning, sin was not natural. When God created Adam and Eve, sin was not the natural thing to do. The natural thing to do was to walk with God in perfectness and holiness. And in the same way now, even though we fight it and we're inclined to sin, the mind switch is that it does not need to be natural for us to sin. It was not how we were designed. And God is in the plan of redemption and redeeming, and that is what he did for us. By sending Jesus. Now we don't have to be tied down by sin, by the shame, by the guilt. So behind enemy lines, we kind of worked back from Genesis and realized this is where the sin came from. This is where this flesh that wars within us, this battle within us, this is where it came from. So what are some ways that God has given us the view from behind enemy lines? If you switch over to Galatians chapter 5, sort of in a little bit of the middle of the New Testament, Galatians chapter 5, Paul goes through this list. Galatians 5, starting in verse 19. He says, the acts of the flesh, so the acts of this body that we're born into that is inclined to sin, the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. I don't want to spend a ton of time just examining each of these, but as you look through them, sexual immorality, a selfish desire for pleasure that feeds me, impurity and debauchery, putting things into my eyes and into my ears that is not pure and pollutes my mind from following Christ, idolatry and witchcraft, placing things above God, even worshiping Satan instead of the one true God, this idea of hatred, a deep seething hate for people. These are the things of the flesh. These are the things that we're naturally inclined to do without the help of Christ. And Paul is pointing them out. He's saying discord. That's natural, to have disunity. Why? Because it goes back to this natural inclination to be selfish. We sow discord in groups. We sow discord in teams. We disunify groups. Why? Because we want it our way. And when it's not our way, we'll make other people unhappy. Fits of rage. That's uncontrolled anger, flying off the handle, like that. Dissensions and factions, not being willing or able to lay my wants down, always needing to get my way. Drunkenness, I think that can be applied to any substance which you allow to take control of you, to be addicted to. He goes into even to orgies, which is sexual pleasure beyond even the average, saying these are the things of the flesh. I think each of you here right now, if you would even just take a moment to think, where is my flesh? As I even look at this list, where is this flesh, this natural inclined body and mind to sin? Where is my flesh going at me? Where is it warring against me? And I know each of us here, we have something that wars against us. I would like to just call a couple out that I think specifically for guys and girls are really destroying you and killing you and stealing the hope, the joy, the peace that God has. I think for guys, the idea of self-gratification, pornography, lust, fulfilling sexual desires, I think that's a huge one for guys. This battle of the flesh is killing us and stealing us, guys, stealing the joy that God wants us to experience. I think in the idea for guys of material lust, phone, clothes, cars, you know, I want the best. I got to have the best. And then in drugs and alcohol. I mean, that's one that we say a lot, but that's killing them. That's killing us, guys, to be addicted to that. And I think cursing is one. Cursing is one that we take real, everybody curses, it's no big deal. But that is a battle of the flesh that wars within us. Because you say, I don't want to do it. I know many of us here have said, I don't want to do it. And yet that battle wars and we continue on. For ladies, I got some help on this one from my wife. So if you don't like them, talk to her. For ladies, gossip. Gossip is a huge one. The never-ending, backbiting, talking. Why? Why? Because it fills that flesh. It fills that urge you have within you. It's hard. It's hard not to gossip. For ladies, fantasizing, letting your minds go wild, comparing yourselves to others. You know, whether it's like, well, look how much better I am than them, look how much better I look than them, or degrading yourself below to saying, I don't match up to that, I'm nothing. Kind of in there is envy, wearing clothes to show your body off, seeking, I think this is a big one, seeking guy relationships over girls because it fuels that desire to be wanted. These are some battles, guys, specifically guys and ladies, that are killing, stealing, and destroying the hope, the joy, the peace, the life that God desires to give. I think for both of you, to sum it up, for both guys and girls, male and female, it's this: let me taste what my flesh is saying is so good. What this body of mine, this body and this mind that is saying, I mean, oh, this is so good, I need it. It's that, let me taste it and see. Let me, just for a time, let me taste it. This is what we say a lot. I've heard, many times I've heard some of you guys say, look, I just want to taste it for a time so that then I can walk away and say, you know what, it wasn't that good. But there's consequences there. And it's stealing, it's killing, it's destroying the hope that God wants for you. Guys, we're deceived. Just like Adam and Eve, in the same way we're deceived in the garden. Take this apple. Did God really say you shouldn't eat it? Is he trying to hold something back from you? In the same way, we're deceived now. And we do. We carry on this enemy of the flesh within us that battles and wars. I want to read this to you together. It's up on the screen. Go to that gray, the one that's the gray screen. Yeah. I think this sums it up. The lust of your flesh, with its unregulated urges and passions, wage war against your soul. So this is kind of describing this battle that's within you, where Paul says that what I don't want to do, I do. What I do want to do, I don't. Let me start over. The lust of your flesh, with its unregulated urges and passions, wage war against your soul. You frequently sense an urge to do what you want, to lift the restraints and to follow your own desires. You know you should not, but the desire tug at you and struggle against your soul. Think how often you have experienced the power of the flesh, caved in, and done something you did not intend to do. You fought against doing it and knew it was harmful, yet you could not resist the temptation. You gave in to the power of the flesh and acted on it. I think that sums it up really well. But see, our flesh, this body, this mind inclined to sin, this self-gratification and selfishness says, I want to feel pleasure. I want to experience life. I want to know what it's like to be on the other side so loudly that we will ignore the times we have the guilt. The shame is there. God, that's on purpose, guys. God gives us a conscience to know when things are wrong, just like he gave us a sense to know when we put our hand over that stove and it's hot, to pull it away. In the same way, when we have the guilt and the shame, it's there to say, don't go there. Run. Come back to me. And there's consequences. You know, when we give into our flesh, when we give into our sin, it just doesn't just affect us. It affects others around us, our future, our friends, our parents. It's really momentary pleasure for a life of regret, pain, and heartache, broken relationships. Paul is saying, these urges, this flesh, it will not satisfy you. It will not satisfy you. So, the mind shift that I was talking about, where you kind of shift your mind and begin realizing what God desires for you to live, it starts here, and it's freedom versus slavery. Freedom versus slavery. And it's not exactly how you think, but here's how I would sum it up. God says true freedom comes from obedience and knowing what not to do. True freedom comes from obedience and knowing what not to do. I'm going to read Galatians 5:13. It says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Here's the most clear example that I can give you of this. For me, when I want to eat healthy, or when I take food in general, in my mind, I think, well, freedom is being able to eat whatever I want, whenever I want, right? That's freedom, to be able to do whatever we want. But why is it that when I indulge my flesh to eat, drink, whatever I want, why do I feel like I'm in chains? Why do I feel like that actually holds me down and I'm not really free? But when I have the discipline to say, no, I want to follow a strict diet, I want to be able to say no to things, that is when I really feel freedom. I feel free. And that's where we need that mind shift. True freedom comes from obedience to God and knowing what not to do. So we know what not to do, and we follow, and we know what to do. We know what to say yes to and what to say no to. We obey it, and God says that is true freedom. To walk in freedom is to obey the Spirit. So how do we fight? How do we fight this enemy of the flesh? Been talking about what's the flesh all about, where did it come from, this body of selfishness that's inclined to sin, to self-gratification. How do we fight it? We have this offensive weapon, the Spirit. And the idea is, and it came to me because I've seen a lot of you, I didn't go to this campus before I started working here, but who went to the Inside Out summer camp? Did you go, who went to, yeah, I've seen you guys wear the bracelets a lot, the green ones. So it must have meant a lot. And so I started thinking about what is it really when we want to battle this enemy of this natural body and mind that's inclined to sin, the flesh, when we want to battle, it's from the inside out. The flesh is outward. The flesh is outward. Let me fulfill myself. But it is controlled inward. It is, we control it. We battle it by denying our flesh and walking in the Spirit. Walking not, when we, to walk not in the flesh is to yield to the Spirit. I want to read Galatians 5, 16 through 17 to you. Galatians 5, verses 16 through 17. Paul says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so you are not to do whatever you want." He's talking about to not yield to the flesh, to not yield to those battle within you, those things that we feel guilt and shame over, to not do that is to yield to the Spirit and say, God, I will follow you, whatever you say. I will yield to that. I want to switch, flip over now to Romans 8. We'll be there for a little bit. You can flip over there with me. Romans chapter 8. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. This idea of walking in the Spirit, obeying the Spirit. It's a battle. It's in those points where it comes and it's coming to that point of, will I choose sin? Will I choose what these urges in me are saying? Or will I choose what God desires? And that's where we yield to the Spirit and say, look, I can't even do it. I'm so weak, I can't do it. But Jesus, you living in me, you can give me the power. So Romans chapter 8. Verses 5 through 8, it says, "Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace." I want to read that again. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. I was hanging out with a student this week, and this person told me that I could share this story. I'm not going to say their name, but it really illustrates this point really cool, and it was really neat as I was hanging out with this person. I would say for the past definitely year, if not more, this person has been in the realm of the flesh, and they admitted this to me, that they have been and walking in the realm of the flesh. And they went to summer camp. God really began working there. They began yielding to the Spirit, saying, Lord, take the junk out of my life. So they leave from summer camp. They're desiring to walk with the Lord. And then they actually go away to this other Christian camp for a while. And while there was different people were listening to music, and it was rap. And this person was like, cannot stand rap, but it's the only thing everybody can agree on. So I'll do that. I'll listen to rap. And so then this person's really into a different kind of music. And so they get back home and they're like, I just can't wait to like binge listen to my favorite kind of music that I love. So they get back home and they said, I couldn't listen to the music that I used to. There was no desire within me to listen to the music that I used to listen to. That is yielding to the Spirit. As you begin saying no to the flesh and you yield to the Spirit, you begin listening to God. You begin saying yes to the promptings that He gives you. You begin getting the junk out. All of a sudden, you begin allowing the Spirit, God's Spirit, to work in you. That was so cool for me to hear and why I wanted to share it. Because that wasn't really Him. That was him saying no and saying, God, I'm ready. I'm ready. Come on. He said, I can't listen to that stuff anymore. He said, I can only listen to the Christian metal. He said, I can only listen to Christian metal. I said, that's cool, dude. Listen to that. Go with that. So think about it like this. Switch over to the pictures, the slide with the pictures up there. Okay? All right. Think about it like this. You got two dogs, okay? The flesh is that chihuahua. Okay, work with me here. The flesh is that chihuahua, right? The flesh has a mean growl. It has a mean growl. But what is it really going to do? It's going to bite onto your arm and you're going to go like this and shake it off. No, but I mean, the flesh has this mean growl and it's like this desire within me to do these things, and it seems so real and it seems like I've got to fulfill them. Whether it's indulging in the sexual pleasure, or whether it's comparing myself to others, all these different things that our flesh wants and we desire. And then on the other side, the German Shepherd. Strong. Look at that. I love that picture. Against the sunset. Protective. It's beastly. It's strong. And think about it like this. If you had two dogs, and we're deciding Paul says we need to fight against the flesh. But he doesn't just stop there. He doesn't say just forget the flesh. Because see, if we just tried to kill the flesh, what would that be doing? That would be doing all fleshly things to stop it. It would be all these outward things. Well, let me put a block on my computer. Let me get rid of some of these friends. Let me get rid of this app on my phone. I don't know, whatever the thing is. We're fighting with only fleshly means. What's going to happen? You're not filling it in. If we said that that dog was the flesh and we just starved that, well, the other, work with me here, the other dog inside of us, those two dogs working within us, would not gain any energy. And Paul says, you have to kill the flesh, so starve the one dog, but in the same way, yield to the Spirit and fill the Spirit. How do you fill the Spirit? How do you yield to the Spirit? How do you begin building it up? You do that by getting in God's word daily and letting his word fill you, letting his word speak to you. By beginning today and praying and say, there is a battle within me, Lord, and I know this, my flesh is killing me in some areas. It's stealing, it's killing, it's destroying. I need your help. That is yielding to the Spirit. We can't just starve the flesh and say, because that's what monks did. Monks back in the day, they said, I'm going to cut myself off from the world. I'm going to cut myself off from everything, all the bad stuff, and I'm going to kill my flesh. I'm going to beat my body into submission. And so what? Then they were gone. They were out of the world. Who were they having an effect on? God has called us to be in the world, but not of it. In that same way, we cut off the flesh. We know there's areas where we just need to say, I'm done with it. I'm putting that block on my computer. I'm getting rid of these friends that are bringing me down. But in the same way, we yield to the Spirit too, because God desires to be in the world and live in it. And we yield and say yes to the Spirit. And this picture for me was no more clear than last night. I went to my 10-year high school reunion. And it was really weird. Wendy can attest to this. All these people were telling stories about me that I had totally forgotten. I couldn't remember them. They were funny. I mean, they were funny stories. None of them were bad. But I couldn't remember. It was weird. I was like, Wendy, I can't remember any of these stories people were telling. But the reason was because I was indulging in my flesh when I was in high school. It was all about me, self-gratification, selfishness. And as I began yielding to the Spirit and walking with the Lord, I didn't want to remember those days anymore. Those weren't the days that I wanted to remember. I wanted to remember the hope, the life that I have now, the peace that I have now because I'm walking with the Lord and yielding that. It's a constant battle, guys. It doesn't just stop. You don't become some perfect Christian, it's good. But I couldn't remember those stories because I didn't want to. Because I want to remember now what it's like to walk with the Lord. Look at Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 12, as I close here. Paul says, starting in chapter 6, just starting in verse 11, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness. Rather, offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought forth from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. Here it is. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but you are under grace. Guys, sin is no longer your master. Sin does not have control over you anymore. When you have trusted Christ, his death for you, his resurrection for you, and he lives inside you, sin no longer has power over you. You have Christ living in you to fight that. Do you hear me? Sin no longer has power over you. But what happens when you indulge in the flesh, when you say yes, you do. You bring that flesh back up. You bring it back up. But what I'm saying to you now is, Paul is saying clearly here, sin is no longer your master. You don't have to walk in the flesh. You can walk and yield and obey to the Spirit. And then it's cool. One last time, flip over with me to Galatians chapter 5 as I close. Galatians 5. So we talked about the acts of the flesh. And here's what Paul says after that. He says, Galatians 5, starting in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. When he talks about these fruits of the Spirit, you don't work for these things. You don't work and say, well, let me love more. Let me get peace more. No. As you yield to the Spirit, you say no to the flesh. You say yes to the Spirit. These things will be evident in your life. They are a fruit of yielding to God's Spirit in you. So as I close, just three things to wrap it up. A mind shift. The mind shift is, sin is no longer my master. If Christ is living in you, sin has no hold over you anymore. That flesh does not have to rule you. We don't have to give in those desires and urges because Christ lives in us. That view from behind enemy lines. God gave us the view. This is how Satan will attack you. This is how the flesh will attack you. Where is your flesh killing you? Where is your flesh destroying you? Will you yield that to the Spirit? And daily walking in obedience to the Spirit. Putting my mind on the Spirit. All right, there's some table questions up there for you guys to discuss.